Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening from, wherever in the world you are, thank you so much for tuning in. And I'd just like to really extend my sincere apologies. I know we are delayed with another segment only because I have been really experiencing the turbulence of the retrogrades, and I've really been struggling a whole lot with being grounded and being centered. And what has really come up for me at this moment in time, because during our conversations and our walk, I like to put in my personal experiences regarding my navigation. And it's from a spiritual resonance, one that I feel comfortable and very safe in to share from. I also wanted to open this up and say I am only speaking from my point of view. There are many point of views, so what I am saying is quite relative. It might work for me and it may not work for you, but I hope it opens up something in you that will propel you to find what works for you in your navigation through this journey. I wanted to touch up on the feelings of safety and what inner safety truly is, because during the past 2 weeks, my sense of security has been highly rattled. It's opened me up and opened up a lot of emotions relating to how I see security to be as, and how safety feels internally for me. So I've been doing a lot of inner child work, because the distress and the discourse stemmed from there, you know? It stemmed from there. Please bear with me. This conversation does overwhelm me, but there is power in being vulnerable. There is freedom, and I do believe breakage of bonds that keep us tied to false narratives that we go along with in our lives. So please just bear with me. I'm gonna quickly just take a moment to blow my nose. But yes, a little background story. So roughly about 4 months ago, I had to move out of my childhood home. I had a big fallout with my uncle, who I would see him as my father. I grew up in a home with a narcissistic parent, so I have what we call anxious attachment. And in an anxious attachment style, anxiety comes from not feeling valued, not feeling seen, not being reciprocated within my own acts. Remember, with anxious attachment, what you would do in cases of trying to gain attention is you'd go above and beyond, especially as a child. You'll go above and beyond trying to prove yourself to somebody just so that you can be seen. So I have always overextended myself. I have always done above and beyond in any situation that I bring myself towards, only because I want to be seen and I want to be valued. And it's very, very broken in terms of how now I'm navigating the world. Broken in a sense that, not that it can't be fixed, but it's a broken vision, if I can say, one that you would walk around and deem as true only because of your attachment styles. So I had to move out after our fallout because it was really bad. And this is not the first time I've had to move out because of a very bad falling out with him, but this one is the last one, only because for the first time in a long time, I was able to stand up for myself and I was able to call out the manipulative tendencies. I was able to call out the warped perceptions of reality and basically manipulation. Narcissists tend to do that a lot. Neither am I trying to villainize him any longer, because I'm trying to free myself of this story and this narrative that I've had my whole entire life, you know, the bad guy and the good guy. I'm not trying to villainize him, but I am aware of what I experienced when I was growing up, only because it has really shaped me to being the person that I am. And I'm working at resolving these traumas only because I do not see the benefit of them any longer. They do not serve me in my highest good. I do more self-sabotaging than I do good. And in my anxious attachment style, I am more reactive than I am willing to take a pause, then respond. And that's because I've never felt like my sense of security was built on rock, a solid foundation. So I've been wrestling a lot with that, and I've been really trying to forgive also parts of myself that really weren't able to fend or defend my being. And I'm parenting myself, which is the most difficult experience that I'm currently going through. Sorry about that. I'm also trying to not shy away from being vulnerable. Because there is so much freedom in vulnerability. And I know that sharing this story is going to allow me to set out a new path, a new story, a new narrative that is in alignment with where I see myself to be and what my destiny will shape as. So I've been really struggling a lot with all of this, because I guess the overwhelming thing is, at my big 28 years of age, I am still being crippled, or what feels like brought to my knees, when it comes to the tough experiences that I had to deal with growing up. I thought when I was young, especially when I was 16, starting to venture out into this journey, I really thought eventually I'll get there. But I see when it comes to very deep traumas that have left imprints into our DNA, they will always come back, and it depends on the level of work that you've put in with dealing with these certain traumas, that the more they come up, it becomes a lot easier for you to deal with. You know, you're able to sit in it and process it in a manner that isn't overwhelming, overbearing, or you feel like, oh my gosh, this feels like it's going to kill me. It feels like it's trying to take something away from me. You know, that fear to withdraw and not deal with it and hide it. When I feel that is actually where you create the monster, that is where you create the most unbearable monster that you can't hide anymore, because it's just that big, you have to face it. And I feel like also me going into these periods of processing intermittently, also not does a disservice, but it will still bring me back to where I need to meet myself at my point of healing. As much as I want to see myself getting to a point where processing this will be might be tough, but I shouldn't feel that it is crippling or taking away from me. It's going to require me to really sit in it and be consistent with facing my traumas, which I'm so open to, and I'm so grateful for all the divine master descendants, Jesus, who have really carried me through this process, because at most I'm really seeking solace and I'm seeking peace and I'm seeking refuge in who Christ Jesus reminded us of, and that is God. You know, I am really trying to see God through Christ's vision, because this turmoil and all this upheaval is so overwhelming, but I know I have to address it, because if I do not address it or do not face it where I am, with compassion and with love and with knowing that, not that there's anything wrong with me or anything wrong with my experiences, but I am able to allow myself to be free from holding the narrative of suffering when it comes to these experiences, because I'm not there anymore. I am able to take care of the 3-year-old traumatized, 5-year-old traumatized, 8-year-old traumatized, 13-year-old traumatized, 16-year-old traumatized, etc. I'm able to hold all these different parts of myself that experience deep levels of trauma, and I'm able to meet myself where I am as an adult, as a person who is able to make rational decisions, as a person who is able to act out in injustice, and who is able to protect myself and reassure that I'm not alone. Most days, or most times, and it's only now that I understand it's not of mine, but a lot of people come up to me and they always mention how strong I am. You know, I won't lie, most times I really don't feel strong, and that's how I know that God exists, because the strength that I don't particularly feel, and I don't need to feel the strength to know that I have the strength. I don't feel it when people tell me yes, but I do believe that there is a strength that I use, but it doesn't stem from my own power. It definitely stems from God. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to share my vulnerability regarding this experience and to show up, even though I hadn't been able to, but to build the courage and the strength to show up now in my current state, in my vulnerability. I'm able to allow myself to feel and to process, because you know what, guys, one thing I've realized about this human experience, we are going to need to go through certain ebbs and flows, and that's just the way it is. We're not always going to be in a state of happiness, and I'm starting to reevaluate what that state of happiness is, only because am I trying to achieve a feeling, or is it a state of being? Because if it is a feeling, feelings come and go, but true essence of happiness doesn't mean that I always have to feel happy, and true essence of love doesn't always mean I have to feel love. I think the state of love is the act, it's the being. I'm starting to believe that of happiness, and I'll definitely share my thoughts, my spiraling into that. But yes, a lot of the things I thought I wanted to feel and be are starting to really take away the rose colored glasses away from it and to see the essence and the actuality of what it truly is. And as daunting as my process is, I'm going to show up the best way that I can, honestly. So our next couple of sessions and our next couple of interactions are going to be so honest. Navigating through my anxious attachment has brought up a lot of parts that I thought, you know, and that's how I know. Anyway, ego and pride. And I'm very grateful for my ego, as flawed as it can be at times, but it's protected me from so many things. So many things where at a point of lack of safety and security, my ego stepped up to fight for me. But we've created mechanisms, defense mechanisms, that really now I see don't work in our favor anymore, because I'm not trying to always stay in flight or fright mode. And I am now understanding that most parts of my life, my 20 odd years of life, I've been in flight or fright mode, and that has done nothing but harm my ability to grow and expand through the act of surrender and being vulnerable. In anxious attachment, you must understand how incredibly difficult it is to surrender to the unknown. The unknown is where the anxiety thrives from, because I'm not able to hold on to anything. I'm not able to reassure myself whether if I fall, this is a safe landing, or whether if I fall, I'll break. It's really where it thrives. But I've also kind of realized that within this anxious period, I am still very much able to call in intrinsically my own power of safety, the power of love that I can create with the safety, the ability to be present and to be here for my inner child, reaffirming and reassuring her that I am here to protect her, that I am here as a measure of safety, that I am here to hug and heal all the wounds of mistreatment, abandonment issues, everything that tormented her, that she felt so unsafe of. I'm able to be present for her. I'm able to allow her to know that she is safe to be who she is. She's safe to be silly and creative. She's safe to be who she's always been, and without confinements or feeling pressures and stresses from anyone who's going to tell her otherwise. I'm getting to the liberating stage of this whole experience. But I've noticed within my walk with the Ascendant Masters, or one of the Ascendant Masters, Jesus, I'm knowing peace. I'm knowing peace, and I'm showing up to that. Peace really does rest in something that is more bigger than us. The only peace that really has value and meaning is peace that comes from God. I'm tired of the upheaval, and I'm tired of having to carry this heavy armor, this heavy sword. I've released every single thing, and I am bare, naked, vulnerable, raw. Only because fighting for so long has brought me nothing but more pain and more things that I have to unpack. And not saying that you mustn't fight injustice and fight when you are protecting what is right, but fighting when it brings nothing but more turmoil, more instability, more imbalance, more anxiety, that I'm tired of. And I've put my warrior armor, put it all down, and I'm walking on the other side. I'm walking into change anxiously, afraid, vulnerable, but very ready and eager to push through, because there's medicine. Like I said, there's medicine in doing this. There's medicine in sitting with yourself, avoiding distractions and ways to take you away from yourself. You avoid anything that's trying to take you away from yourself, or you being with yourself for long periods. Solitude is landing. Everything is really starting to land. Everything that I have been told about life, everything that I have been trying, or people have tried to show me throughout my life, I can honestly say before it never truly landed, but now everything is landing. And it's coming in as a, oh my goodness, aha, type of moments. Let's embrace the uncertainties of the unknown. Let's embrace vulnerability. Let's embrace vulnerability without having to think of what other people will think just because you are being vulnerable at that moment. I strongly believe that I've gotten past the fact that abantu bazothini, what will people say when I act this way? Because it doesn't serve me anymore. It doesn't give me peace. Navigating through anxious attachment styles, I want to free myself of feeling undeserving and not whole, because that is a lie. That is a lie I've grown to tell myself for the longest time, and I've learned to believe it. But whether or not I am being reciprocated, I am still whole. I am still worthy. I am still here. I am still an expansive, multidimensional extension of God. I'm here to create. I'm here to live out my true destiny as an extension of God, experiencing this human experience and everything that comes with it. It is unique. And it deserves to be honored. And I'm going to show up for that. I'm going to show up for that fully. And I'm going to show up honestly. I'm going to be here. All upheaval, all the turbulences, all that is happening is the ebb and flow of life. That's just waiting for us to embrace and to be there with open arms and to sit in compassion with it. And to remember that love is the only true being that matters, the only true spirit that restores and that heals, that shifts narratives, it shifts storylines, it shifts. So I start by building my confidence up again, and I start feeding into myself things that I know are true and I believe are true. And that's the beauty of the connection of Source with the Ascended Master, Christ Jesus. God wants to meet you where you are. God is so merciful, and that love is unconditional. It holds no wrongdoings. We don't know love like we should. And once we honor ourselves and we give ourselves the divine right to truly be experience in our highest, form, we'll really be able to break the shackles that are binding us in the same storylines, that are binding us in the same thought patterns, that are binding us in the same way, but it's not doing any good. It's doing more harm. I hope we wake up and we wake up to our divine being, our true divine being, our essence and our consciousness, that are able to meet divinely and work in our highest good. Thank you for holding space and for allowing me to share this experience. But the journey does come with turmoils. May we not cower away from it. May we really, if we are the type of people to run away, may we really just ask ourselves why? Why are we running? Is running a form of safety? Is running creating a safe space where you're just able to have that safety for you? I hope you find courage to stop running away from yourself. I hope you find courage to just stop in its track and decide you don't want to run anymore, and face everything that's tormenting you. Because trust me, the minute you speak, the minute you find a way to release, like scream, dance, create, that's when the monster starts to get a lot smaller and smaller. Eventually, the monster disappears, but the trauma will still stay, but the monster won't be there to torment you. It won't be there to hold you down in shackles, feeding you and telling you narratives that aren't true about who you really are. And this is my prayer for all of us. May we just grow through with courage, with strength. You can call on the courage of God and the strength of God.